I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. Thank you for joining me today or tonight, whenever you're listening to this program. Thank you for joining me once again where it's a good life. Today we're going to look into the Word of God, and we're going to look in 1 Samuel chapter 16. A shepherd who became a king. And you probably already know who that was, but we want to share that today together as we look into the Word of God. Let me remind you that you can write to me, Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731, and I'll be glad to send you free of charge a transcript of this program and other programs of It's a Good Life. You can also go to our website, lrwm.org, lrwm.org, and you can download a free transcript of this program and other programs of It's a Good Life. You can also go to the website and request prayer. We'll be glad to pray with you and for you if you'll simply leave that request on the website. A shepherd who became a king. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 7 through 13 says, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." And I'm glad today that the Lord doesn't depend on, or doesn't look upon the appearance of a person. Certainly he would have refused many of us who are in the ministry. And those of us who know Christ as Savior, he would have refused us simply on looks. But thank God he does not look upon the outward, but he looks upon the heart. As we continue on in 1 Samuel 16, verse 8, it says, "Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel." Now here is Samuel who is looking for a king. He's going to anoint a new king, or a king that would come later on. It says that Jesse called Abinadab and made him to pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither hath the Lord chosen this." In other words, another son of Jesse he had not chosen. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, "Neither hath the Lord chosen this." And again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, "The Lord hath not chosen these." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Are here all thy children?" And he said, "There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither." And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. A shepherd who became a king. Now it was a notable day on that quiet sheep ranch, as we've just read, in the hills of Judea, with three surprises. Note, the family of Jesse was honored with a visit by a distinguished guest, and that was Samuel. He came to identify and anoint the future king of Israel, and he chose the youngest of eight sons, who was not even present at the time that he first came, that he came there. And notice this, it was a choice not hard to understand when we know something about the young man of David. In 1 Samuel 17:56, he's called a stripling. He says, Saul said, "Bring this person before me." and his reputation had already gone forth, as we're going to see in a few moments. God chose David for the position of king. God saw in David the qualities which made for greatness. First, he saw that he was a worker. In verse 11 of our chapter here, of our section, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 11, it says, "He keepeth the sheep." Now I want you to know today that God cannot use a shirker. God uses people who are busy, who are willing to work. Moses was busy as a shepherd when God called him. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb." In verse 2 of that section of scripture, Exodus chapter 3, says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him." Moses was busy. God uses busy people. David was busy. He was about his father's business. He was busy. And God chooses busy people, not shirkers. Elisha was plowing, according to 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 19. "So he," Elijah, "departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him." God had chosen this man Elisha because he was busy, because he was not a shirker, but he was a worker. As we look into the New Testament, we also see that four of the apostles were fishing and mending nets. They were workers. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22, it says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." God uses workers. He looks for people who are willing to get the job done. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10, it says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord." In secular jobs today, those jobs that require a manual labor or computerized work, or whatever a person is doing, that person needs to do that as unto the Lord. We need to dedicate our lives to the Father. We need to dedicate our lives to the work of the Lord, whether it be in the ministry of a local church or whether it be in our secular jobs, we need to do it as unto the Lord. Notice something else about David. He was dependable. When Samuel came, the father had no doubt as to David's whereabouts. Verse 11 of 1 Samuel 16 says, "And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither." David was dependable. His father knew where he was at. And we also see that he was on the job, and when prowling beasts came, he was on the job to protect those sheep that he had been placed over to protect. 1 Samuel 17, verses 34 and 35 talks about that. Not only was David dependable, but he had good habits. It says David, while keeping the sheep, developed some important skills as we look here at keeping the sheep. These skills came about. He became skillful with the harp, skillful enough to play before the king. The king called for him. He became skillful with the slingshot to protect the sheep. And as we read about the slingshot, we understand that God would use his skill to meet the giant Goliath and defeat him in battle. David also became skilled in poetry, as seen in the Psalms. He had good habits. Now, habits can be a substantial aid to godliness. We need to develop our habits, not to the things of the world, but to the things of God. Now, I'm not telling you that you shouldn't have certain interest in the things of life, fishing, golfing, whatever you have that gives you a pleasure apart from sin. You need to understand that God does not take those things from you. But we need to have habits, godly habits, based upon the Word of God. David also had a good reputation. When King Saul needed a harpist, and we mentioned this earlier here, when he needed a harpist, he called for David, because David's reputation had reached from the hills of Judea to the halls of the palace. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 18 says, "Then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite that is cunning in plowing, and a mighty, valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in manners, and a comely person." And notice this, "And the Lord is with him." David had a good reputation. Sooner or later, a person's reputation catches up with him. It catches up with his character. Every national election brings this to remembrance. Many critical issues are settled on the basis of reputation. A man's character is not what some people think. But a man's character is what causes a man to stop. It's what helps a man to make a right decision. Right decisions can only be made through the Word of God, as God leads the godly person to make right decisions. And then we see that David had a clean heart. God sees all, hears all, remembers all, and makes no mistakes. 1 Samuel 18:4 says, "David behaved himself wisely, and the Lord was with him." And then we understand that God sought a man after his own heart. And 1 Samuel 13:14 tells us that he was looking for that man. And in Acts 13:22, the Bible says, "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart." Now, David started early in life preparing to be what God wanted him to be. And my question today is, how about you? It's never too late to start. It's never too late to give your heart to the Lord, to ask Him to come into your heart. "Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I repent. I turn to You and ask You to save me. Save me today, Lord, in Jesus' name." God will save you if you'll pray a prayer like that and mean it in your heart. If you're away from God today, ask Him, "Lord, forgive me. I want to come home and serve You." It's been good being with you today, and may I invite you once again to tune in at this same time next week when you'll hear me say, "It is a good life." May the Lord bless you richly, is my prayer. Jesus and the happiness that I